Don't know if you noticed, but at some of those Republican rallies we've been referencing, Tuesday it was the iconic song from Rocky, Eye of the Tiger, used at the Kim Davis rally staged by GOP candidate Mike Huckabee. The band Survivor, by the way, was not at all pleased and threatened to sue. Yesterday, Michael Stipe of the band REM spoke out against Donald Trump for his use of the song It's the End of the World as We Know It. Music meets politics. Just background noise or something more? Joining us now is Dana Gorzolani-Mostak. She is an assistant professor of music at Georgia College in Milledgeville. She also writes about music in American presidential politics. Professor, just how much thought do you think politicians really put into selecting the songs that play during these big campaign rallies?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, certainly some teams spend a lot of time and energy developing a music strategy, and others do not. I mean, one example might be, you know, Hillary Clinton in her 2008 primary campaign. You know, apparently she had a whole group assembled that put music through a rigorous vetting process to determine what would be played at her rallies.
Wow.
But other candidates, I do think it's perhaps selections are made on a more ad hoc basis.
Well, of course, one of the things, one of the main objectives is to get the crowd riled up and ready to rock, as it were. Do candidates ever think about what the ramifications might be if the politics of the performer or the songwriter don't square with the politician's own?
Yes, I definitely think they do. You know, even when politicians go through the legal channels that are necessary to secure the rights to music, I think they still have an awareness that, you know, the artists may indeed respond negatively. I mean, I think in the case of, you know, Donald Trump and Mike Huckabee, who are, you know, the two recent examples that come to mind,
right.
You know, I think their entire reputations are, as candidates, are built upon the fact that they're not afraid of taking unpopular positions. You know, Trump's remarks as of recent have offended and alienated many different groups. I mean, already in this campaign, he's offended feminists, Latinos, the department store Macy's, NBC Universal. You know, so to his detractors, you know, this act of choosing this music, he's sort of seen as a bully. But, you know, to his supporters, he's a candidate who's not afraid to assert himself. You know, and while the particular music selections that accompany the candidate as he, you know, walks on the stage, you know, certainly bring an amount of cultural cachet to the campaign, you know, the defiant act of using music of an artist whose stance is in opposition to yours,
yeah,
and even the ensuing battles that play out over social media, you know, are part of a candidate's music strategy that, you know, ultimately helps their total campaign strategy as well.
Just so I'm clear, so when Michael Stipe of REM protests over social media that, you know, he did not authorize Trump to use The End of the World as We Know It, it's not just that there's a certain cynical humor in using that song at the rally itself, but it's also the reaction of the performer that sort of rubs a little salt into the wound, and that's part of Trump's style. That's something he's going for.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder, though, I'm trying to think, this seems, it's almost always when we're talking about this issue, almost always seems to be a Republican who's played some music that typically a more left-leaning or liberal songwriter didn't want to have used at a, you know, at a Republican rally. I'm thinking of several people from John Cougar Mellencamp to, you know, Bruce Springsteen, who have objected to the use of their music used at these sorts of rallies. Is there any example of a Democrat using a song that, I don't know, Toby Keith or someone else who's associated with the right has said, no, you shouldn't be using my music?
Yes. I mean, I do think, you know, Republicans have had more issues with choosing music and then having artists firing off the cease and desist letter. But there are some examples on the Democratic side. I mean, the 2008 campaign, Obama used Sam and Dave's Hold On, I'm Coming at some rallies. But Sam Moore actually did issue a very cordial letter to Obama asking him to stop using the song. And Obama did stop using the song.
Dana Gorzolani-Mostak is co-creator of Tracks on the Trail, an interactive website that come November will be offering multidisciplinary perspectives on the creative use of music and sound on the 2016 campaign trail. She's also a professor of music at Georgia College. Thanks so much for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.